This is The Briefing, a podcast presented by Musio Goodman Law Firm.
The topic today is, when is a will invalid? And we're asking the question to Wes Musio, managing partner at Musio Goodman.
Thank you.
So that is the question. When does a will become invalid?
Well, the first thing that one looks at with a will, as long as it's got the individual's name on it, his or her signature, and there's two supporting signatures, that then the will is deemed valid. But then what you do is you look and see if there's any suspicious circumstances surrounding the will. And if you can establish a suspicious circumstance, then the will is deemed invalid, unless the person that's putting forward the will as being valid can prove otherwise.
So what are the circumstances for a suspicious circumstance?
Well, there's basically three sort of areas that one would look at. The first of all is whether or not the testator, who's the will maker, has testamentary capacity, whether or not there's any evidence to suggest they may have a mental issue that would preclude them from making sound decisions. That would be the first thing. The second thing is if there's any undue influence by, say, a caregiver or a family member, or something that looks a little bit fraudulent in nature. And the third thing would be whether or not, you know, the whole circumstances surrounding the making of the will are somewhat suspicious. Like, let me give you an example where one of the children drives, the testator over to his buddy's house, who happens to be a lawyer, and they get a new will done just before the person passes away. That would be a suspicious circumstance. So those are the situations the court goes, hold on a second, there's a problem here, so you have to prove that this is a valid will.
How do we know when someone is mentally incapacitated to prepare a will?
That comes up more and more nowadays, and you know, it's never a set rule, but basically the way it looks, what the way people look at it is, it has to be at the time of making the will. So, you know, for example, if an individual is having significant problems with their mental cognition at one point in time, but they were completely lucid at the time of making the will, it could still be valid. So you got to look at the timing of it, and you don't necessarily need to have an expert opinion from a doctor, but that would really help, because if the doctor says, hold on, this individual is definitely not competent to do a will, then it would be ruled invalid. And so what one looks at in terms of finding out all this is, if the individual that's doing the will actually knows they're doing a will, they actually know what they own. So a general idea, okay, I own a house, I own these bank accounts, that sort of thing, and that they know who they should be giving it to. So when I say that, they have to recognize, okay, I have my cousin that's really close to me, that person deserves it, or my spouse, or my children. And so if you can establish that the testator, the will maker, understands all that, then chances are the will would be valid. But if they don't, then it's definitely invalid.
How do we prove lack of capacity when making a will?
Well, that one's the age-old difficult thing, but I can tell you the best way of doing that is having a timeline from various witnesses showing that the testator or the will maker is lost his marbles. And if you can show that they've done all kinds of weird things over time, or if you get lucky enough that they had gone in to see a doctor and they did a mini mental status exam and they failed miserably, or any other evidence of them acting irrationally, and you know, but of course if they were ever put in a hospital on the basis of mental incapacity, it'd be an easy one. So it's basically looking at the entirety of the evidence, talking to witnesses, checking out the medical reports and the medical evidence, and seeing what you have, and the court will look at that as a whole and see if they can accept that the individual is got competence or not when they did the will.
Do you have a case example that would illustrate this topic?
Yes, one of the leading cases on this area of law was a case called Laszlo, and it was an interesting one because the aunt was out she was a fruit farmer out in the Okanagan, and then at the last minute, she didn't have any children. Her husband had passed away, and at the last minute, she disinherited her entire family, which is all these nieces and nephews, she gave it to a church in Penticton that she'd never gone to. She was not somebody that would ever be interested in the churches, and so the evidence came out that she was very, very loony, to say the least. So So all these witnesses came in and explained how she had difficulty with this, and she was acting weird, and she was thinking there's ghosts in the farm and all these other things. And then also it turned out that the individual that prompted her to get a new will was part of that church. So the court said that there was very suspicious circumstances and decided, even though there was the family physician had said she was competent, the judge just ignored that and went with all this lay witness evidence and the fact that she'd never gone to a church in her life to say that there's something wrong here, and ultimately was deemed that the will wasn't valid. So that'd be a good example of looking at the totality of the case to see if you got something to prove incompetence on the part of the testator or the will maker. And if you have any further questions on this topic or others, feel free to reach out to me at my email, musio@musiogoodman.com, or give me a call at 604-336-8002.